The new book, The Night Diary, by Veera Hirunandani, has already received starred reviews and enormous critical acclaim. It's inspired by Hirunandani's own father and his family's journey. The book tells the story of India's partition, a division that spawned vicious xenophobia and caused the largest human migration in history and the upheaval of more than 14 million lives overnight. It is a story of loss and hope, of refugees and identity, of little-known histories. At its heart, it is a story of a 12-year-old girl desperately trying to understand the rapidly changing world around her. Veera Hirunandani joins us now to tell us about The Night Diary, and we welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Veera, thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
What brought you to this story? It is a personal story. What brought you to this place?
So the story is about a 12-year-old girl named Nisha who has to leave her home during the partition of India in 1947. This is based on something that my own father went through when he was nine, and he and his family had to leave their home in what is now Mir Prakash, Pakistan, and go over to the new border of India. So this was a story that I had heard growing up, but I always felt like, I think partly because my father wanted to kind of protect me from really the some of the harder stories of partition, I felt like I didn't know the full story. And of course, when you're a kid and you feel like you're not being told everything there is to know about something, you become even more curious. So I think that was something that I just had more and more questions about as I grew older.
So as you grew older, at what point did you start to hear the full story?
I think it was more kind of a give and take. I think something that was really pivotal for me was when I was 11, I went and saw the movie Gandhi with my family. And that was the first time that I had seen stories of partition, because that's about the movie Gandhi is certainly about Gandhi, but a lot of the movie focuses on India's independence from the British and partition, which happened at the same time in August in 1947. And so that was the first time that I had seen this piece of history depicted anywhere else outside of my family. And it's shown very dramatically with a lot of violence, which is what happened. And I was really shocked because I had no idea how violent and the magnitude of what it actually was. So I really remembered that. And then from then on, just thought about it so much, asked more and more questions. And then I didn't know I would grow up and become a writer. But when I did, I knew I had to find a way to shape a story around this. And certainly for people who were connected to this history like me, I wanted them to be able to see a story about it, because it isn't, especially in this country, there isn't a lot written about partition, and also for people who don't know about it, because I don't know if I would have known about it. I didn't learn about it in school. I didn't hear other people talking about it other than my own family, so I wanted to share the story so more people could know about what happened.
An upheaval of some 14 million people, the largest human migration in history, and of course spawned this just vicious xenophobia. What was it about the story that you did not want to tell it through your father's eyes? You wanted to tell it through that of a 12-year-old girl.
Yes. Well, I'm a fiction writer, so I felt like this wasn't... It was really thinking about how to shape a story that I felt like I could ask the questions that I wanted to ask and then attempt to answer them in my story. So I felt like it wasn't really about telling exactly what happened to my father and his family, but using that as inspiration. My father's family was very lucky in the sense that even though they had to, you know, basically a month after partition, they thought they might be able to stay, and they found that the unrest around them and hearing news of violence coming closer made them want to leave. And so they packed what they could carry and got on a train, but they survived, and they made it to the other side and started a new life, even though they had to leave their old life behind and never return, but they really are a lucky story from this time. And so when I started reading about so many different stories and so many people who suffered terrible, unimaginable violence through the xenophobia that was created during this time, I felt like I wanted to incorporate that. But at the same time, I tend to write for young readers. That's how I sort of think. And so I wanted to make it understandable and not traumatic for a younger reader. And I feel like, you know, I can really connect to my own 12-year-old self. That was a very vivid time for me. So making the main character a 12-year-old girl helped me access her in a way that maybe I couldn't writing exactly about my father or writing about an adult going through this in as the main character. Mm.
You talk about how this is often a story that is missing and is not known. This is, in the grand scheme of things, a recent history. Why do you think that is the case, that the story has been lost?
I'm not sure. I think part of it is just certainly in this country, I think there are a lot of things we don't know. We grow up not knowing about the rest of the world, just in the ways that we are taught history in our classrooms. So there are many things and huge events all around the world in recent history that a lot of Americans may not know about. I wasn't taught growing up. I think also that partition is such a painful story filled with so many memories that most people don't really want to revisit. So I find that it's very common when I talk to other families who have parents or grandparents who went through partition, sometimes what I hear often is, yes, my parents or my grandparents didn't like to talk about that time. So the stories weren't always easily passed down. But I do feel like it's really important to preserve these stories because, you know, my father is 80. People who are older who went through this, who remember it even more clearly, are in their 90s, and eventually that generation is not going to be here anymore. So I think people of my generation right now are starting to really try to capture this history in a lot of different ways. There's a new website, I think it's called the Partition Archive of 1947, which is just collecting testimonies from people's lives. There's the first museum, I think created this year or last year in India, that dedicated to partition, but that was just recreated very recently. So I think it's that idea of this is slipping away, and there's a lot we can learn from this history, and so we need to collect it and preserve it.
The name of the new book is The Night Diary by Vera Hiranandani, and it is out from Dial Books for young readers, written for kids like ages 8 through 12, certainly will relate to this story. As the title would suggest, this is told through letters. Tell us about this young girl, half Muslim, half Hindu, and how you decided to tell the story through her letters.
Sure. Well, she's very shy, and she has trouble speaking to people outside of her family. And so I felt like having her discover the power of her voice was going to be most intimately shown through a diary, because this would be the only place that she would say everything that she felt and really ask the questions that she wanted to ask. So I felt for this character, a diary would be the best choice. I also like to put some kind of limit on myself as a writer and give myself that kind of boundary or challenge in order for me to think more carefully about the choices that I'm making as a writer. So I just wanted that challenge. And I think also it was just the reason that I also made her from a mixed background was certainly to be able to ask the questions that I had about this time very directly. If my country is being split in two and people of this religion are supposed to go here and people of this religion are supposed to go here and we're suddenly supposed to not like each other anymore, what do I do? Where do I belong? What group am I supposed to be in? So I wanted her to have a connection to both of those sides and really ask those questions very directly. I'm also from a mixed background. My mother is Jewish and my father is Hindu. So I certainly, I know how complicated it can be to navigate multiple identities. And I think people are navigating multiple identities, whether it's directly, you know, sort of labeled that way or not. Especially young people are figuring out who they are and where they fit in and what if they have a few things that they sort of want to be a part of. How does that translate into their lives? How do they navigate that and find their whole identity in that way?
In reading about Nisha, she has also lost her mother as a baby. So she's worried not only about losing, still dealing with that, but also about losing her country.
Yes, which is certainly, you know, in some ways another, we think of that as sort of another maternal figure in a place that you were born in your country. So she has lost her mother, and then she finds herself in this very unexpected, difficult time before this, where the novel begins. She's living a pretty ordinary life. You know, her father's a doctor, and her grandmother is home taking care of her and her twin brother. And she's going to school and just trying to figure out how to be more comfortable in her own skin and make more friends, and she, you know, wonders what's for dinner and all of those things. And then her life turns completely upside down, and that's when she really finds herself reaching for her mother that she never knew in a way that she doesn't expect. So she's kind of creating the mother that she needs on these pages because that's all she can really do.
How did you tap into your father's story and his thoughts and his remembrances of partition to help fill out the novel?
It was actually a great experience because even though I asked him a lot of questions as I grew up, this was a time now that I'm well into adulthood. I was able to really sit down with him and go over the details in a way that we never, both of us never really did before, and really focused on it for a long period of time. And not only what he felt like, what was going on in partition, but just his life growing up. I wanted to know details. I wanted to know what the house looked like. I needed all of that information to create a realistic picture for myself for the novel. So my father is really part of creating this story in a way that, you know, he has an engineering background and then was a businessman for many years. So he's never written a work of fiction. And so to kind of let him into that process and have him read a draft and tell me where, you know, things might not feel authentic or details might have been off was an interesting experience for both of us and definitely brought us closer. So I'm grateful to have been able to do that. Mm.
The book is dedicated to your father. What was it like, even well, with the drafts, but when he got the final product in his hand, what was that like?
I think he was really moved by it. I think he was almost surprised at how interested I was in this background and his background in this piece of history. So I think it was moving for him, but, you know, he keeps his cards close to the vest, so he, you know, I could tell he was proud, and he said he was proud. You know, he gave me one, I'm proud, and, you know, I know that he is.
Sometimes we have to pry it out of them, but it works,
yes.
Doesn't it?
And yes.
It still means a lot. We know. As we end our time together this morning, let's just talk about how you see this of kids today relating to the story and what they get out of it, and perhaps what you've already heard from young people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I've been very touched by the positive reception that this book has had in only a few weeks, and I've been able to visit several schools already, and kids seem really, really interested in this time that, you know, often they don't know anything about. And then once in a while, I have had the experience where a student will look at me and say, this is what my my grandfather went through or my grandmother went through. And that also is just so gratifying. I mean, that's ultimately why I wrote this book, and to make that connection happen for all kinds of people to see themselves in stories, because there are so many stories out there. But also, it ties into some issues we're facing today with the global refugee crisis and what that means to be a refugee. And this is a story of one refugee in a very particular way. And to just kind of humanize that there are so many individual stories under that label of what it is to be a refugee. So this is one story of what that might be like. And then, of course, some of the divisiveness we're feeling in this country and how quickly things can change and how fragile society can be, and how important it is to be open-minded and accept differences. So I hope that young readers come away with some of that.
Well, it's such a beautiful and compelling story. It's The Night Diary. It is published by Dial Books. Vera Hirandandani, I thank you very much for being with us and sharing with us this morning. Best of luck with the book.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the novel is The Night Diary, written by Vera Hirandandani. It is published by Dial Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.